Are you ready for the weekend yet? We have events, news, and a guest for you to enjoy this Lake Life weekend. Hello and welcome to another episode of Lake Life Weekend Podcast. I'm Dirk, I'm your host, and this is weekend 36 approaching. It is post-Labor Day for, I think, almost everybody in Minnesota. School started this past Tuesday, and it's getting a little bit more quiet in Lakes Country, which is not bad. For many people, this is the most beautiful time of the year, me including. The change of colors in all the trees and forests and all around us is just beautiful. I am making a lot of road trips now, and I will speak about that. I'm actually considering to record one of my road trips coming up at the end of this month. I'm going to Duluth and spend some time on Lake Superior with a group of drivers, and we're going to make a road trip there, and I will probably record an episode from there and share my impressions of that part of Lakes Country. So stay tuned for that. Today we have in our interview Chad Conan. Him and his wife Danny own the Citizens Advocate in Henning. They also own the New York Mills newspaper, and they recently purchased the Frazee Forum, and they are building a little small local news media company, and we interviewed him, and we will hear more about their story. Other than that, so please go to our website lakelifeweekend.com for daily updates on events and stories. We add new recipes. We are working on our publication. It will actually go to print this week, and we will have a new Lake Life Weekend magazine out at the end of this month. It will be on the shelves in all Hornbuckers and many other locations in Fargo-Moorhead area and all over Lakes Country. So there's going to be some fun articles in there, and yeah, enjoy that also. Yeah, I don't want to keep this much longer. Feel free to email us to hello@lakelifeweekend.com for your ideas, critique, and anything that we can do better to make this podcast enjoyable for you. Thanks for tuning in, and have a wonderful weekend ahead. Welcome to our interview part. I'm here with Chad Conan. Hi, right. Chad.
Hey, nice to meet you. Nice to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for coming. And Chad and his wife, Danny, own the Frazee Virgus newspaper.
Yep.
And they also, I learned, own the newspaper in Henning and New York Mills. And you started your, let's call it a collection, back in 2010 already. Mm-hmm. But before we learn about owning and operating a newspaper in Lakes Country, I would just like to ask you to introduce yourself and where you and your wife from, and how did you arrive in Lakes Country and came up with the idea of operating newspapers nowadays with digital lifestyles?
Yeah, absolutely. No, originally I'm from Wheaton, Minnesota, so it's kind of a couple hours away from here, kind of right on the border of Minnesota, South Dakota, North Dakota, right in that little hump right there.
Southwest corner.
Yeah, oh no, actually kind of about 2 hours southwest of here, kind of where that hump sticks out into North Dakota and South Dakota. It's kind of right where it is. I got into newspapers in college, and then I started working at a newspaper as a sports editor. My first job was in Glenwood, Minnesota, so kind of just south of Alexandria. I met my wife down there. She was working as a dietitian, a diet tech, and we ended up getting married, and we lived in Glenwood for a few years. And she's originally from Deer Creek, and we've always kind of wanted to move back up to the Lakes area and be a part of this community up here. So we had the opportunity to buy the Henning paper when we were pregnant with our first child, and thought this would be a great area to live and a great area to raise a family. So that's kind of how we ended up here. We moved up here in September of 2010, and then bought the Henning paper at that time, and actually lived just about a half mile from where she was born and raised on a farm. So yeah, no, it's kind of, it's fun, and it's best of both worlds. So we live on a farm, but yet we are 5 minutes away from a lake. So it's kind of a nice area, nice community. And in 2013, we were approached by a group of people to start a newspaper back up in New York Mills. And so we did. We started one in New York Mills in, I think it was January 2013, we actually started it. the mayor at the time, and then a city councilman came and talked to us and thought that they wanted a newspaper that they could call their own again, and so we started a newspaper up there too. So and then here just recently we purchased the Frazee paper, the Frazee Vergus Forum here. I think we closed the end of July. So
yeah,
we've been a busy few years, but we're happy to be in this area.
You know, I'm really passionate about news. I think everybody should be. I still read German news because they're a little bit different, I suppose. Yeah. But I sometimes had trouble reading American newspapers. Yep. I'm just honest. The Fargo-Moorhead Forum didn't touch enough international news, in my opinion. But I now understand that we really want to have local news.
Yep.
And I get those strategies. And I think that's what you are doing with the small town publications. Mm-hmm. You're focusing on local happenings. Is that correct?
Yeah, and that's kind of one of the things that we've always said is if you want to read about what's happening in the Twin Cities, we're probably not what you're going to want. But if you want to read about what's happening to your neighbors in your own backyard, I mean, that's kind of what we try to focus on is really just in that community that we serve, you know, New York Mills. It's kind of just the surrounding areas between New York Mills and Wadena and Perham. You know, that's kind of where we try to have most of our news from. And same thing with Frazee and Vergus. We try to have everything just right in your own backyard. And I think the term that people use a lot is refrigerator journalism, something that you can cut out of the paper, hang it on your fridge, and kind of look at it from time to time. So, yeah.
You know, it's interesting because I saw it's kind of like I don't want to say if it's a renaissance, but I'm in Germany a lot.
Okay,
and
yeah.
I reference to my experience to mm-hmm. that. And there is a niche market, mm-hmm. and I think it was either Hamburg or Berlin, where they started a neighborhood newspaper.
Okay.
And it's kind of a new product where people crave what's going on in my neighborhood. And that's, let's say a neighborhood in Berlin is very similar to a New York Mills, to Fargo, which is just like kind of a neighborhood, let's say, from the size and the readership.
Yeah.
But I think that's the strategy or that's the audience.
Yep.
And I think it's maybe worldwide that mm-hmm. people crave details about what's happening around them. If they want to read Minneapolis, they get the Star Tribune. If they want a national, they're going to get the USA Today or New York Times or whatever it may be. So I think it's interesting. But I would like to, from entrepreneur to entrepreneur, let's say, how easy was it or who sold to you a newspaper? Is it, it's 1891, how it's a traditional business, right? And who handed it off and how was the transition? Maybe we talk a little bit behind the scenes.
Yeah,
how do you get to own a newspaper?
Well, that's a... That's a good question. And Henning, it started in 1891. So we're on 127 years now.
Wow.
So what's interesting is actually a newspaper, it'll stay. So we actually have the first copy that was ever printed still in our back room.
Really?
Yeah, we have, most of them we have all the way through a copy of each issue through, I think, the 30s and 40s. There was a water leak one time back in the day, and they actually got moldy. And otherwise, we have pretty much every copy of, which is, I mean, it's really fun to look at kind of
absolutely
some of the things that were back in the day. But one thing that when we purchased the newspaper in Henning, it was actually from a group of three sisters that they had owned it for a few years and had different interests and were just looking to sell. So it's kind of fun being able to go back and see it. And I think maybe you're alluding to that, being able to look back at the history of the town and what kind of made news 100 years ago. And
absolutely,
you know, I always get a kick out of looking back in like the early 1900s about Prohibition.
Yeah,
because every community was a little bit different and they were a little bit more blunt back in the day about some of the things that they wanted to see happen.
Really?
You know, in Henning, they were very much, they wanted it to be a dry county, and so they some of the stuff they wrote was pretty point blank that they were writing about who was in the bar and drinking and why it's a bad idea to be drinking all the time. So,
oh wow,
yeah, it's kind of fun to look back at some of that stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Privacy.
It's not like it is today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, and so to get into newspapers, I mean, it was just something that we always wanted to do. And like we said, you know, to move up to this area was kind of the next step to.
Well, you had experience in journalism.
Yep.
You mentioned earlier.
Yep.
From education, I guess, and your first job. So that is, but running a business, and I don't know how many employees they're involved. But there's payroll, there's accounting, there's advertising, sales, there's a press, then mechanics. All of a sudden, I don't know. Do you have a press? Like, how big is?
We don't. We actually outsource the press. We're printing it down at Sauk Center, but now we've just switched to printing it in Lowry, Minnesota. So we actually will send the newspaper over the internet to them on Monday nights, and then they will deliver it to us on Tuesdays. So, as far as accounting and the bookwork, my wife does all that. She does a good job. It's her kind of her job to keep track of all that, and she does a.
So you have really individual good job. Roles. So,
yeah, we have individual roles, and she does. I know tonight she's going to a volleyball game, so I mean she does quite a bit too, just with helping with pictures and taking pictures and making sure that we're where we're supposed to be and keeping track of the bookwork. We have I think we have 5 employees right now. So we do, you know, everybody's asked to kind of multitask everything from just sweeping the floor to taking out the trash to writing feature stories. So we kind of all have our jobs, but we all kind of pitch in. And that's kind of the way you have to do it on a lot of small businesses, newspapers, you know, a lot of the small businesses, you got to kind of all do a part and maybe do something that you didn't think you were going to do when you get hired, like opening the mail and just kind of basic things that have to get done on a day-to-day basis too.
So when you took over, let's say 8 years ago, was it already online, the Henning paper?
It was online, but it wasn't online kind of the way that it is now. What they did is they actually just made a PDF of the front page, and that was their whole website. So now we actually will put, we don't put our whole issue online, kind of like what, you know, I think like the Fargo Forum, some of these bigger newspapers put all their stories online and put the whole stories online. We'll only put about 4 or 5 paragraphs of a story online, and the rest of it, they either have to have an online issue or they have to actually go buy the newspaper. We do have an e-edition where you can read it on your iPad. It's the actual newspaper. It's just in a PDF form, so you can read it on a computer, an iPad, and a lot of people like that, especially that go south for the winter. Mail service to Arizona can take quite a while, and it's kind of spotty sometimes, so a lot of the snowbirds really enjoy that and like it, and you can zoom in as much as you need if you're hard of seeing. So
and they want to stay connected to the area.
And I think that's part of the big thing is you want to know what's still going on in town, so when you do come back in the summer, you're not blindsided about everything that's been going on. And a lot of them have grandkids that are still in sports and school, and you don't want to lose that connection to what they're doing either.
So you would think, obviously, I mean, you are investing in in local news with the buying another purchase and starting another one, so you must see a future in print also and in like this demand for local information.
I think especially in these smaller rural areas, I think there's always going to be a demand for a newspaper or a print version of it, and even if it's not print, I mean at least online and kind of the same form that we have it now. Obviously the bigger town, the more options you have, you know, and maybe you have more blogs and internet sources to get information from. But I don't think that a lot of people are gonna go to a city council meeting, for example, and then write a blog about it, you know. So I think there's always going to be a little niche area in there, and that's kind of what we've said. We want to focus on local instead of more regional news, because I think it's difficult for somebody to come in and just say I want to write about this meeting, because you actually have to go there and sit there. And
but you do that?
Yes, we do. We actually, I cover about 3 meetings, and then Barbie up in Frazee, she'll cover quite a few, and we have a reporter, Eric, who is based out of New York Mills, that covers quite a few as well. So yeah, we'll actually go to most of the meetings and just kind of report on what's going on.
Okay. And is that, do you share numbers? Like how many subscribers? Like, do you have quite a big subscriber?
We have... You know, our circulation in Henning, I think, is about 950 people a week. New York Mills is a little bit lower. In Frazee, it's about 1,700 now. So we actually do have quite a good reach. Yeah, we doubled. So, yeah, it's been a big change, I think, in that aspect, too. A lot more people to connect to and in a bigger community as well.
Does that include online and print?
It does include online for... No, it doesn't. That's just print.
Okay.
I think in Frazee, I'm not actually sure how many they have online.
I was just curious.
It's quite a few. I think Henning and New York Mills, we have about 50 each online only. So.
Ah, so okay. Yeah.
Well,
so you reach roughly, let's say, 4,000 people every week.
Yeah.
And if with 4,000 subscribers alone, we cannot survive, I suppose. So is advertising is a big, that's a necessary income driver to actually produce the.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's I would say subscriptions are actually a pretty small part of it. Most of our income and revenue comes from advertising, so that's why it is important to still have business to support the newspaper, because while subscribers are part of it, I mean, I would say 70-75% of it actually does come from advertising. So it is a vast majority is through advertising.
Yeah, otherwise we wouldn't have a paper.
No, otherwise we wouldn't have a paper. So yeah, it's, I mean, advertising is a big part of it, so.
And just curious, when New York Mills, and you said the mayor and the council said like, hey, would you help us? Is that maybe, is it like a city funded? Do they support? Or did they just say we would like to have?
It's kind of just more of a, we'd like to have this here. Do you think it would work? And, you know, I know you mentioned Virgus here earlier. I know Virgus is kind of doing the same thing with a grocery store. They're trying to get a community to rally around and start a grocery store in town. So it's kind of that same type of concept of, we'd like to have this. We just have to find someone that would be willing to do it.
To do it. Yep. I was just curious because, you know, if you have a small town like New York Mills, maybe there is some support to make it not so advertising heavy, because you know, with all respect to the Fargo Forum, if I get like the, what is it, the Thanksgiving Sunday issue and it weighs half a pound or a full pound or whatever and the news content was 5% or less, I'm just not satisfied. But you know, if the readership wants to go through all this advertisement, I'm just always amazed. I think that's just a little bit too much. I don't know. I guess I'm in advertising too in a way. But like, too much is too much.
Well, and it's, you have to have a reason to open it up too. You can't just have solid advertising in it, because what's the point of reading a newspaper if all it is an ad?
I struggle with some publications in the area. Not yours, but there's some publications that are those free things that arrive at your mailbox, and actually I don't want to say names now, but there's some that I, and then there's like half an article in there, and I really study them. Actually, I'm hoping to find some, and there's half an article in there, and then 90% news, and I'm like, do they, maybe the audience wants that, so I'm like debating with myself, like, maybe that's what the community wants. They want to know what's for sale at Fleet. They want to know there's a new pizza at the gas. I don't know. So maybe that is a majority we want to be advertised to. Because we're a consumer generation.
We could be. I guess I don't know. I, you know, I don't open those up a lot either, because I just, to me, I just don't look at them that much. But I do know that, you know, to me, I'd like to kind of know what's going on too. You know, kind of the, like you said, half a story. Well, what's the other half of the story there too? So, you know, it usually cut it off at the good part too.
So with five employees, and so you say you do active journalism, or, or like you really feel that you report. And deliver content.
I think one of our things is we want to make sure that we have, I know in Hennigan and New York Mills, for example, we try to have five or six stories every week of just in those communities. And then we have a person who covers a lot of the countywide news that we can run a lot of his stories. And a lot of those really do affect, especially in the Lakes area, you know, when you get closer to Otter Tail, a lot of the decisions that are made in Fergus Falls at the county board really do affect that area, probably even more than Hennigan and New York Mills. So we try to make sure that we have five to six stories, I call them unique ones, for each newspaper every week. Just because otherwise, what's the point of getting it? If you can get the same information from one paper to the next, there's really nothing that makes it unique.
No, I agree. There is a newspaper in Fergus Falls too, isn't there?
Yes, yeah, the Daily Journal, And I think they come out 5 days a week, I think, if I remember right, or six.
Oh, I don't even know. But it's also privately owned, right? Isn't there a family that owns it?
I think, well, I'm not sure. I know that they, I think it's part of a company, but it might be a family that owns it. They own quite a few of them, so
Yeah, it's fascinating how many small media families, I mean, the Forum is a family. That's fascinating. Do you know anything more about Minnesota newspaper history? I mean, like, you own a 127-year-old brand,
yep.
Or institution or organization.
Yep.
That's quite old. Is there any others, or like, what do you know? Is there an association that you do you converse with other newspaper?
Yeah,
owners?
There is actually an association. I'm actually on the board of directors for it right now here too. So there is actually one. I think there's last I heard, there's about 330 newspapers in Minnesota still. So
wow,
there's actually quite a few of them. I think it's probably one of the bigger ones in the state with how many newspapers there still are. And I think one of the reasons for that is probably the size of the state, but then there's a lot of distance in between towns. You know, if you go out east, the towns are closer together, so
yeah.
You kind of lose that uniqueness. And so I think especially even if you go up into northwestern Minnesota, there's still quite a few newspapers up in that area, and a lot of them are family-owned. So
yeah. So 330...
newspapers, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's more than you think, but, you know, and if you get down into the cities, I mean, they have... a lot of communities still have their weekly newspaper, twice weekly newspaper, and then, you know, like the bigger ones like the Star Tribune still cover those communities.
That's
as well.
The biggest one, I
yeah.
guess. Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually one of the bigger ones, I think, in the country.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd seen something recently about
probably top
Sunday.
20. Definitely
yeah.
top 20.
Yeah. I think it's Sunday circulation, I think, is one of the top ones in the country. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think a newspaper will not necessarily go away. I mean, mm-hmm. as much as we digitalize our lives,
yep.
which is great, it's convenient to have everything on your fingertips. I love to hold a newspaper in my
mm-hmm.
hands. I also like to hold a book in my
yep.
hand and read. So I think it will not go away. Do you agree?
No, I don't think it'll go away ever. And like I had said, especially in this rural area, I think the further away you get from bigger towns, I think they're definitely going to stick around a lot longer, just because it is nice to hold that
right.
in your hands. And you know, I always use the phrase that it's, you know, it's nice to share pictures on Facebook, but it's kind of hard to cut it out and kind of remember it. You know,
yeah.
you kind of, it's nice to be able to cut out those pictures and use them for graduation someday and the stories
yeah.
and that kind of stuff too. So,
and I think we are keeping this culture alive
mm-hmm.
by doing it and
mm-hmm.
passing it on. I mean,
yeah.
by living it.
Yeah, absolutely.
To our children and yeah, I would agree. Yeah, what's the latest news in the area though? Is there something pressing, or like, what is the biggest? Do you also like research things once in a while that take weeks or months, and then you make a bigger?
You know,
story?
We don't actually do a whole lot of that. I mean, I wish we would have more time, but I think you know, one of the we. We'll probably do more research on like a city council on their audit and stuff like that, as opposed to doing big investigative pieces, which
mm-hmm.
I actually enjoy those pieces a little bit more, but they are pretty time consuming.
I bet.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No, they are very, and they're interesting to read too, you know, but we don't do a whole lot of that. You know, most of the research ones we'll do are done in a week or two.
Okay.
But that's kind of, just kind of more of a small town thing.
So it's the up to date.
Yep.
The daily, the weekly. The
yep. Kind of more of the weekly look back and look forward, and we do some research stories, but not probably as many as others.
But do you know anything top of mind, which is like a, let's just say, community talk? Like, is there a big road construction project, or like, I know that Perham just opened their new high school, but is there a debate right now? I mean, I really don't
yeah.
know. Is there anything that Ottawa County says we are looking at something, and we may gonna, I don't know, build a dam?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Is there?
Yeah.
I don't want to start rumors.
Well, one thing I think that they're thinking about is raising the age that you can buy tobacco products to 21, and I don't know
oh, really?
If there's any other counties in the state that are doing that.
Can a county do that?
I guess so.
This is
I'm
ridiculous.
Not sure. Yeah.
I mean, I
yeah.
don't smoke, and
I don't
think
either,
it's good for you at all.
Yeah.
But like, it's really interesting. I don't understand those things. 18, 21, how can a county? Well, this is super interesting.
Yeah.
I actually have a law degree, and my background is law, which
mm-hmm.
I just try to understand the legality and the power
mm-hmm.
to a county where they can set their own rules. Like, you enter here,
yep.
and like, would that mean they can reduce the drinking limit to 16?
I don't know if they could.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
I know in Germany it's 16, which I don't want to promote alcoholism at all.
Yep.
I just remember that to me it was easier to actually get drunk before I could drive.
Yeah.
Because then I knew how stupid it would be to drive.
Yeah.
Instead of having my driver's license, drive for 3 years, and then it's like, oh, I can drive home.
Yeah.
And then it's like really fatal.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, I enjoyed getting it out of my system.
Yep.
And then when I had the responsibility of a key, I would never drink and drive.
Yep.
It's just a perspective thing.
And well, and that makes sense too, though. You know, I mean, if you get it out of your system before you can drive, you know how it'll affect you more.
It's just my point of view, and it's what we do in Germany. I'm not saying it's better or different, but it's just surprising me that a county has so much power to. So that's a debate, yeah?
It is. I know there's people that are on both sides that are pretty dug their feet in the sand, and they want it either to raise it or to keep it the same. So it's going to kind of be a interesting deal.
I don't. I mean, this is an interesting topic. Yeah. We are. I must say, there's so few smokers around here. If you go to Europe,
there's.
Oh man, I'm just like everybody smokes because I can compare now. I live here. I don't see anybody smoking.
Yep.
Barely. Nobody. In Europe, everybody seems to smoke. So I think we got that topic handled or that problem handled very well here, in my opinion.
No, and I agree. I think. If you look, I mean, even in the last 10 years, it seems there's a lot less people that are smoking.
I think so, too. I think so, too. Yeah, and I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
But any other thing, I think elections are coming up in 70 days or something. That's and I know that they have, like, pre-elections for Ottawa County, the sheriff. There was, like, what is
that
called?
Yep, there was, I think, the primary.
Recently.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Just, like, a couple of weeks ago. But what else can, what's happening? Do we know any more? Do you report if Fergus Falls wants to do the river walk?
No, we don't do a whole lot with Fergus Falls, but yeah, that'd be kind of interesting. So they're going to put a...
Yeah, there's a downtown development thing going. May take 3 more years.
But okay, that's usually the way those go.
Yeah. New York Mills, do you know anything about the Finnish culture?
Little.
Oh, okay.
Little.
Because I think there's an event coming up, and we were just looking into sauna.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and we sauna a lot, whatever. But I think there was like a little Finn.
The Finn Creek Festival. Yeah,
right.
That was actually it was last week, and it's always the fourth weekend of August.
Okay.
So yeah, it's but yeah, that's actually a really interesting one because you can go into some of the old Finnish buildings that actually people lived in when they moved over here.
Oh, there is a little kind of like a pioneer's village?
Yeah, a lot like that, yeah.
In New York Mills?
In New York Mills. It's just south of New York Mills.
There's so many destinations.
Yeah, there is. There really is a lot to do around here. I mean, a weekend you could go to 100 different parks. I mean, and all of them are unique. And what's interesting to me is finding out how they got started. Like the Finn Creek one on the Finnish culture and then the Pioneer Village on kind of the first pioneers in this area. I mean, it's it's fun to learn about
local
what it was
history.
Like, what it was like here.
And what
years.
It was like.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I agree. And I always discover those things, and I like to go to them.
Mm-hmm.
There's almost, I don't want to say there's too much activity, but there's really a lot that we can expose ourselves to. Coming to maybe usually my going out question is, what lake life means to you. And I don't want to focus like not only on water, but let's look at lakes country. You came from southwest here, of here, and it's on the borders, prairie, more prairie-like.
Yep.
So your lake life is 10 years old, let's say.
Yep.
I actually arrived here at the same time.
Okay.
So what is your favorite part about lake life?
I actually like the family part of it. It seems like everybody here is really connected to one another, not just related, but I mean, it seems like in this area, not just at the lake, but not just at home, but everybody cares about one another quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's sick, it's not uncommon for them to bring some food by your house.
Mm-hmm.
We had a person that lost a house or a barn to a fire a couple years ago by Henny, and they said that they actually had, before the firefighters even left, they had about a half dozen tater tot casseroles on their doorstep from people. To me, that's what lake life is up here. It's just a family community with one another.
The caring and the community style.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Very interesting.
Yeah.
So the outside.
A little different take, yeah.
Yeah, but I think coming new to an area, that's something that you immediately feel or not.
But yeah, absolutely. I think people look out for each other maybe more up here than other places too.
Interesting. I never heard that. Mm-hmm. And then you said you have at least one child that was...
Yep, we have two. We have 7.5 and 4. So they're getting ready for school and gearing up. So.
But you take them out. Do you fish or do you go swim a lot?
We do. We go fish. My younger one loves to fish, loves to go pan fishing. And my older one loves to swim. And we can hardly get her out of the water in the summer. So I know she's looking forward to our in-laws have a cabin just right down the road from where we live. So we're there all the time in the summer. So it's, they love the lake and love to tube and kneeboard and just enjoy everything we can during those 3 months where it's nice.
I know. Came too quickly to an end here.
Yeah.
But lake life is year-round. I really like it in the winter, too. It's
I do, too. And I think it's fun, you know, to be able to have that opportunity to go ice fishing and ice skating on a lake. There's not too many people that can go clear a spot off on a lake and go ice skating. You know, it's a lot more fun than even just going to an ice skating rink, even if it's outside. I think it's more nostalgia of it, you know, and to be able to have that opportunity is really nice.
I agree. And I did it too last couple of years with my son.
Yep.
And it's a different feel.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I'm actually looking forward to fall and winter.
Yep, I am too.
It's kind of cute. Yeah, well, I think it was very interesting to meet a publisher, I guess.
No, it was very fun.
And maybe we hear and exchange some more in the near future.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for coming in and have a great weekend.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Yeah, this was already our newest episode of the Lake Life Weekend podcast. We sure hope you enjoyed it. Tune in again next week with another great guest and updates. Always check out our website, lakelifeweekend.com. And if you have some comments, please feel free to email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com. And you have a wonderful weekend ahead.